You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. I want to talk about an article by Michael Goodwin from the New York Post tonight with you. If you remember back in December of 2019, President Trump tweeted a picture of himself bracketed by an unpunctuated caption. And what it said was, in reality, they're not after me, they're after you. I'm just in the way. Remember that?
I do.
Well, it seems that that really is coming around to be more true than ever, because now the Democrats are trying to basically eliminate a lot of what we as conservatives say and what we do. And they're just using every avenue. They're using the media. They're using social media. So I want to talk a little bit about the ways that they're trying to stop us. What did you want to say?
No, I was going to say I'm glad you put in that second part, because the Democrats wouldn't be able to do this whatsoever if it weren't for the complicity of big tech, you know, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google, Amazon, and also the mainstream media.
Okay. Yeah.
And their different talking heads and news hosts and, you know, everything like that.
What he said was absolutely correct. And now you can really see how they're coming after us. And Trump was just in the way. Now that he's not going to be in the way anymore, they're really coming after conservatives. So starting with the calls from the leading Democrats for GOP Senators Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz to resign for objecting to the Electoral College results. I mean, those are pretty much some of the potential heirs to the Trump movement.
Well, you know, what strikes me as being so interesting is that there definitely is a playbook out there.
Yeah.
And they've got the playbook, and Republicans and conservatives, for some reason, are so slow to catch up with the idea that an actual playbook is being used. You know, look at what they did. Look at what the Black Lives Matter movement did with law enforcement with their 4D program. Right. So disenfranchise, distance, defund, and dissolve. So it's almost just like that. So what are they trying to do with Trump and us? And I think he was so pathetic when he said, hey, they're really going after you. I'm just in the way. But look at what they're doing with Trump. And they refer to it now, as people like us, as the Trump cult. We are part of the Trump cult.
Right. And we must be eliminated.
Well, do you see where I'm going with this? They want to distance us, right? And they want to censor us. They can't defund us. Well
they
sort of can, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have these different platforms like Parler and, you know, Fox News, for instance, and Fox News is really seeing the writing on the wall, and they're turning, you know, more liberal than people would care to believe. But if you take a look at the different conservative social platforms, the news programs, the social media platforms, Parler being a great example of that, what are they? And they have to monetize, don't they? So, I mean, you got to have sponsors, right? I mean, news programs have to have sponsors. Our network has to have sponsors. Parler has to have sponsors. And if they can use big tech to demonetize these platforms, then they dissolve us.
Well, which is what they're doing. They are, I just told you this evening that GoDaddy has knocked off some of the firearms sites off of their platforms. And these are the way that these companies make their money. They are internet companies.
Well, and Facebook, you know, has been dissolving the accounts of various law enforcement groups.
Yes.
All the way across the nation. And so by doing that, they disenfranchise hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of supporters of law enforcement. Look how easy that is.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to Holly and Cruz, who are extremely articulate conservatives. In fact, I really think and thought that Josh Hawley could actually become president one day. But what are they doing? They are labeling them as criminals and traitors. And the accusers equate their votes with supporting the riot. So you take something to its nth degree that it never was intended to be, and you put that label on them. You know, you put that...
Well, traitor's a pretty strong label.
Absolutely. And then Joe Biden says that they're like Joseph Goebbels, right? That with their propaganda.
And you know, I got a new article that's coming out on America Out Loud, where I talk about the rise of neo-socialism in the United States. And I do a complete chronology of the National Socialist Party, which was the Nazi Party and also Benito Mussolini's fascist movement at that time, but primarily Adolf Hitler. And I talk specifically about the playbook that Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister, employed extremely successfully, starting out in Germany, moving to Austria. And then once Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini joined together to conquer Europe, every country that was conquered fell into the net of Goebbels. And so there was only one source of information, and that was the information that gave out National Socialism and fascist propaganda.
And it seems to me that that's the direction that they want to take us. So you have the incoming president of the United States calling two senators who disagree with the election results, you know, basically Nazis.
Well, look how extreme it is. And you know what I find that's so interesting about the progressive left and now this new neo-socialism movement, which is exactly like the Nazi movement in the Third Reich. Everything that they're doing between the Nazis did between 1933 and 1945, and especially with the Jews, And how they controlled the media, how they controlled the populace, how they exterminated a populace, absent of the actual physical extermination of people and, you know, sending people away to concentration camps or prisons. Everything else that is going on right now in America with the progressive left and neo-socialists is identical to what happened during the regime of the Third Reich. The only difference, Linda, is the Third Reich, when they came into power, when Hitler was first voted in as Chancellor of the German Republic at the time, they took steps, a little step at a time, so that the German people wouldn't be shocked with everything that they were doing, especially with the Jews. This new regime, this Biden-Harris regime, with everything that's going on that you've talked about, they're moving rapidly. They're not taking their time. They're just like one hit after another.
Yep. Well, they also, of course, as we've talked about, big tech is silencing not only the president, President Trump, and they're also silencing all of the conservatives, as many as they can, who believe that there was election fraud. So the Stop the Steal people are all off Facebook. They're being banned and they're being, you know, censored everywhere.
And even in conservative news media, people that have spoken, and very articulate, very knowledgeable people that know about the steal and the electoral fraud that has taken place in the United States, they've even been told that they're under pressure by sponsors and the progressive left to not allow that discussion to take place on air. So,
exactly.
I mean, right. Here you go.
Yep.
It is the removal of the monetization of these networks, because everything resorts back to money, and money is power. And if you remove the money, then we don't have a voice.
But it is also, like you say, taking away the voice, because when you don't let people speak the truth on air and you only let them hear one side, I mean, that is exactly like it was in Nazi Germany. It was exactly like it is in every communist country that you can think of.
No, you know, you're 100% right. But you know, Linda, one of the things that conservatives need to be extremely wary about, and that is spewing disinformation that's based on, you know, reckless opinion. Nothing is vetted. Nothing is sourced. We don't need that from Republicans, and we don't need that from the conservative movement. We don't need QAnon, because what these people do is they create a disservice to conservatism, because they're so far off in left field that they become unbelievable. And then what happens is you allow the progressive left to dump on all of us by saying, well, we're just a bunch of, you know, Trump cult members, and we're a bunch of QAnon extremists, or we're white supremacists, or we're something like that. And we know as conservatives and as Republicans, that's actually a very, very, very tiny amount of people in the spectrum of conservatism.
Well, and the left has their own far left people that are crazy with the things that they say.
But I'm just saying,
I want to talk about Parler for a second, okay? Because, you know, when they took Parler off, when Amazon took Parler off, Apple and Google took their apps off, you know, they took a huge part of our voice away intentionally. And that will not be forgotten by conservatives. But the thing that they used is they said, oh, they're expounding on having violence, and these people are violent, and they're fomenting, you know, riots, and they're fomenting hatred. Every single day on Twitter has 1,000 times more than Parler ever had.
Oh.
And the hatred on Twitter is something that I cannot stomach myself. It's literally makes me sick to my stomach.
Well,
to
you
go
know,
on
I
Twitter.
Don't understand why you're still on Twitter. I got rid of that account because there is so much hatred and vitriol on Twitter. I don't need to be aggravated by it.
Well, it's gotten much worse over the last year, you know, during the elections. It's really gotten much worse. But the hypocrisy to say that Parler was fomenting violence as opposed to Twitter is ridiculous, because there is no comparison. It's just the hatred is 1,000 times worse. And the other thing I want to say about that, Ron, is I'm horrified at Americans talking the way that they're talking. I'm just horrified that, and saddened that people have that much hatred in their hearts in this country.
And it's not just for Trump, because it has finally evolved where they hate us.
They hate us.
Okay, they hate Republicans. They hate conservatives. They would like to put us all, and I'm going to talk about this later, into re-education camps. I mean, look how extreme, you know, these people have become. But, you know, I wanted to say something. People that are conservatives need to remember that there's other avenues, other platforms that we can use besides Parler. Now, Parler, the CEO of Parler, and Dan Bongino, who's I think he's an equity holder in the company. He said that they're going to come back. They're going to be back in about another month. But don't forget, there's other social media platforms. There's MeWe that, you know, they're like Facebook, and there's Gab, which is like Twitter, and there's Rumble. And I just joined Rumble, and Rumble is like YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people need to remember that YouTube is owned by Google. All right. And so Google, YouTube has stopped putting up any videos, and they're taking down videos of anybody that talks about election fraud. So
right.
That's really important that people know that.
Right.
So that's a censorship.
Well, and it's like Marco Rubio says that we're living in a country where four or five companies, unelected, unaccountable, have the monopoly power to decide what we're going to listen to, what people they're going to wipe out, and they're going to erase them from any digital platform. And so many people have made those digital platforms their livelihoods. So they are defunding us. They are demonetizing us. They are harming our lifestyles. And, you know, when President Trump was overridden by the Congress and Senate on that 230,
Senate Bill 230,
the Senate bill to be able to hold these people accountable. I mean, what were our Congress and Senate thinking, especially the Republicans, to allow him to override that? I mean, allow themselves to override that when look what they've got, look what they've done to themselves at this point.
Yeah. And you know, it's very interesting. You know, you talk about the censoring, and I just saw an article the other day about a Republican, and I can't remember what state he was from, but he's one of the people that were pushing action on Senate Bill 230. And what do you think Twitter did? They just removed his account. They closed his account.
Yeah.
I mean, just the other day. So, because this is how they get you back. And he didn't say anything radical. Okay, he didn't say anything radical. He's just a person that is, trying to convince other Republicans and Democrats that, hey, you know, we need to pass the Senate Bill 230 or all of us could be shut down.
And the Republicans had the chance and they blew it.
Yeah, that's
and
the Republicans.
Now they've lost that chance.
Yeah, guess what?
And
I'm
they
not
can't
surprised.
Get it back.
I'm not surprised
but
at
look
all.
Look how many of us they've hurt in the meantime. Anyway, there's more in this article that I want to talk to you about because, you know, there's so many ways that they're shutting down conservatives and single people within conservatives. I mean, like Elaine Stefanik, who lost her ability to teach her class, or she was on the advisory board of Harvard, and she lost that position. Why? Because they didn't like her election return position.
Well, you know, again, in the analogy, maybe we'll get a chance to talk about this after we get a cup of coffee, but this again is right from the Nazi Third Reich playbook. Only just transform the word conservative and put in the word Jews. And everything that they are doing to us, except for imprisoning us and taking us to a concentration camp and executing us, is exactly what they did to the Jews. Exactly. So how about our first cup of coffee?
I'm ready.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Well, thank you for the coffee. And I want to keep on this subject because efforts are underway to block private employment for Trump aides now. And there is a list that's being put together to blacklist any of the people that were Trump aides or people that work with Trump. And, you know, it's actually very rapidly going beyond that to people even that showed up at the Capitol for not for the riots, just to be there, just to support the president. And people are being fired from their jobs for that. So, I mean, there just are crazy things happening. They call them Trump's fellow fabulists. And even Forbes had said that if you hire these people, Forbes will assume that everything your company or firm talks about is a lie. So basically, they're telling companies that if they hire any of these people, Forbes is going to, you know, badmouth them, trash talk them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. What you're referring to is really a blacklist. And that was, you know, started, the whole idea behind the blacklist was started by a former Obama staffer by the name of Michael Simon. And anyway, it's called the Trump Accountability Project. And Simon's been quoted as saying this, you know, somebody asked him, well, what's the Trump Accountability Project? And he said it's a permanent record of every staffer, appointee, donor, endorser, and enabler of the Trump administration. And it's exactly what you're talking about. And they intend to pressure employers, you know, future employers, because the, you know, his administration is done. So everybody kind of goes to the far ends of the earth and, you know, so to speak, in the United States. And now, you know, they're looking for other jobs. Sure. They want to work for corporations, maybe be on the board of directors, you know, maybe they want to work in other types of government. Maybe they want to be on other campaign staffs and
be
things.
Be a professor.
A professor, everything. And what this is a black list.
Yes.
To get these people forever.
Yes. Yep. So they want to block their private employment. And, you know, even law firms, when Parler tried to go to law firms to help them to get back their platform, I mean, law firms ran the other way. And, you know, here's some names that people need to think about and remember. These are large corporations who said that they would no longer make donations to Republican members of Congress who objected to the 2020 election results. So they're using money to block the elected officials from carrying out their sworn oaths to protect the Constitution as they see it, right? So Comcast, AT&T, Verizon, Cisco, Dow, Intel, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Marriott, Goldman Sachs, American Express, and MasterCard.
And, you know, there's another one there, and that's Lowe's Hotels. And I think a great example of that is Josh Hawley was going to go to Florida, and he had a big get together there, a big fundraiser, and they got to Lowe's Hotels, and they pressured them, and Lowe's Hotel told the Hawley campaign staff that they would not allow them to have the fundraiser in their hotel chain.
Right. There have been several large events canceled for different people, including President Trump, who had the golf tournaments for the Masters canceled at one of his places. And they're trying to already do things to basically punish President Trump in his own business holdings and not have things held at his events. So according to Goodman, where does this all go? His opinion is that this goes to a movement to criminalize political speech. That's his thought, that is what's coming in the near future.
Well, I can't think of very many things that would anger the American people more than censorship. I mean, this country, one of the tenets of the United States of America, granted to us by our Bill of Rights, is free speech, freedom of speech,
yes,
freedom of ideas, freedom of expression, freedom to gather and discuss. And if they accomplish that, then we're all in deep trouble. Because like I said, it's the vast majority of Americans who could be censored. And even those, you know, even if you said it wasn't the vast number of Americans in the United States, you're still going to anger the libertarians. You're still going to anger the moderate Democrats that believe in the Bill of Rights and believe in the freedom of expression and free speech. You're only going to have these wacko neo-socialists and progressive left and Marxist people out there that want to stifle the First Amendment.
You know, it just seems like that the only acceptable speech is going to be what the left allows you to say. It's not going to be what conservatives want to say. It's already going that way so rapidly that it makes your head spin.
Well, and they've been doing this for quite some time, and it isn't just political speech. Okay, it's the removal of pronouns.
Oh yeah.
It's the removal of terms like mother and father and grandparents and you know, anything that would give an indication of gender identity. All of that is out. And as a matter of fact, the damn Congress has been complicit in that. I think somebody brought
Pelosi just
forth a bill.
Did it in the House.
Right, exactly. So, and if people think that's crazy, I think you need to take a look at what's happened in Canada and what's happened in Great Britain, where it's actually an arrestable offense to use a pronoun. I don't know where this world is going, but it's not the type of world and it's not the kind of country I signed up for.
No, all of a sudden it's become a different place, and you have to be uncomfortable in your own, I mean, almost in your own home, but you have to be uncomfortable with everything now, and you have to worry about every word that you say, and you have to worry about, you know, your words at work, and your, if you call somebody a he and she wants to, he wants to be a she, or you have to worry about all of these things. It just shouldn't be this way. Life shouldn't be this hard and complicated. It just, life should be pretty darn simple, but we've made it very, very complicated and very punitive.
So where are we going now, Linda, with censorship? What do you think the future is for the United States of America?
Well, it really depends, Ron. It depends on if people are going to push back at this, or if they're going to let themselves be trod over. You know, people sometimes in the United States, especially conservatives, tend to lay down and let people walk on them. And this is not the time for that, because we are getting very, very near to some sort of a cataclysmic time in America, where either we've gone so far that we can't go back, or we've devolved into a civil war. People are not made to live the life that these kinds of people on the left right now are putting on a plate in front of us to live. That's not how we want to live.
Well, you know, so many people in the progressive left and the neo-socialists and Marxists are so in tuned with something referred to as one world, one order. And I wrote about this in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. It is a reality. The one world, one order is a global reality. But here's what these people don't seem to understand, because they've forgotten their European and their United States history. The United States is not Europe, okay? It is never going to be Europe. It will never be Europe. We left Great Britain, okay? We escaped from Great Britain because they wanted to stifle all civil rights. If you remember that, they were not inalienable rights given by God. They were by Prince George, King George, right? I mean, that's what it was. And we left because of the religious intolerance and the freedom of speech and, you know, all of these things. So if they think that they're going to try to create a one world, one order here in the United States, where they stifle our freedom of speech and right of assembly, right, our First Amendment rights, and stifle other rights, they're going to be in big trouble. One of the things that's going on now is this increasing rhetoric by the neo-socialists and the progressive left about taking Trump supporters and our children and placing us in re-education camps. And there's been several notable people that have talked about that. And most recently, Katie Couric. So Katie Couric, not too long ago, is on CBS Real Time with Bill Maher, and she's quoted as saying, the question is how we are going to almost deprogram these people who've signed up for the cult of Trump. So here's this rhetoric about the cult of Trump, but more scary is the whole idea of sending us and our children to re-education camps. The Washington Post reporters, Eugene Robinson and Hannah Jones, they ask, how do we deprogram Trump supporters? I mean, it's on and on and on.
You know, the perception that they're trying to present to everyone is that conservatives are lunatics and that we are way to the right and we are those white supremacist kind of people. And nothing could be further from the truth, because the conservatives all around America that I know are salt of the earth people.
And they're also people of all races, religions, absolutely, sexualities, and cultures.
And they are generally religious people. And they are, you know, they're just good people. They just are good people. And they are not the people that are spouting the vitriol and the hatred. And you can throw the Capitol so-called riot all that you want in our face. I don't believe that conservatives caused much of that. And the people that were rioting were not the hundreds of thousands of people out there. They were some of them. And like I said before, Ron, I'm sure that some of those people were wacko conservatives. There's no doubt. I'm also sure that some of those people were wacko BLM members, Antifa members, leftists,
Marxists.
There's some of everything in there. And that has already been proven. And you can lie and you can say that that didn't happen, but it did happen. So let's get past that and say that that event shouldn't have happened.
Well, you know, and I want to put my finger on something that I know you'll join me in, and that is everything that happened in that Capitol building, the fighting against law enforcement, the breaching of the Capitol building, anything that took place there was absolutely a seditious act. And all of those people, and I don't care if they're conservatives, Black Lives Matter people, Antifa, Marxists, wacko QAnon people, they all need to be identified and they all need to be punished. That is not how a democracy is run. And you don't walk all over law enforcement and injure law enforcement in trying to push your agenda on the American people.
And we both agree on that. But again, the hypocrisy to me is all of those people were wrong with all of the things they did in Seattle, in Portland, in Baltimore, in all of these other cities with all of the demonstrations and the looting and the burning and the hurting of police officers.
And hardly any of them that were arrested were ever punished.
No,
and I think you'll join with me. And had they put their foot down in Portland, had Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, put his foot down and stopped it, had the mayor of Seattle, Washington, had all these other mayors, Garcetti in Los Angeles, I mean, you name all of these different mayors and these governors, had they put their foot down and had they used force against these people and basically crushed these people, we would have not had the situation that we did on January 6th in Washington, D.C.
Well, I don't disagree with you.
And now we're all suffering for it.
I do believe that the vast, vast, vast majority of those people went to Washington to peacefully demonstrate against what they feel was not a free and fair election.
And as do I.
And they were not there to riot and they were not there to hurt anybody. And you could, if you watched it, you saw that. But it was a few people. And people that were there will say that it was all these different types of people. So some conservative, some liberal, so, you know, all different kinds of people. The only people that are getting painted with that brush, though, are conservatives. And the news and everybody makes it sound like those were the only people causing the problem. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. And what we want in this country, and I think that you'll agree, I think that every single person listening would agree, all we want is the truth from our news and our media, and we don't get it.
Well, all we, you know, and on top of that, all we want is the truth from our own politicians. And, you know, Linda, you said quite some time ago, and I never forgot it, it was a great analogy. We were talking, having a coffee conversation, and you mentioned the fact, the analogy that really what politicians are our parents in a very dysfunctional family.
Yep.
And when they act out and they do dysfunctional things, the children, in this case, the voters, also, they look at that and they model that behavior.
Yes.
And this is where we are today. Had everybody kept a civil tongue in their mouth, had they treated each other respectfully, albeit disagreeing with political ideologies, you know, Republicans, Democrats, you know, liberals, conservatives, had people been civil to each other, had they treated each other with respect, had politicians treated each other with respect, had the Democrats treated President Trump, even though they strongly disagreed with him, had they treated him and his family members and his administration with respect, we wouldn't be here today.
Well, I'm going to get you on that note, another cup of coffee.
I'm with it.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. And like us, we're pretty sure you're not happy about any of it. But this is the America we now find ourselves in. AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
You know, I want to talk to you about the law of unintended consequences, because that's a recurrent theme on Talking While Married with you and I. And the law of unintended consequences tonight is going to be this disastrous immigration policy by the Biden-Harris administration. The entire time when he was running for office, he talked about basically dissolving ICE, dissolving all the policies of President Trump, not tearing down the wall, but he said he wouldn't build another foot of the wall after President Trump, I mean, amazingly built 450 miles of wall. And they're still building the wall right now until there's some sort of official, you know, order to stop it. But what he has done is he, with his rhetoric, his campaign rhetoric, has promised millions of people who have entered this country unlawfully, And also the millions of people who intend to enter this country unlawfully and said, basically, look, I'm going to handcuff ICE. I'm going to handcuff the Department of Homeland Security. That wall's not going to be built anymore. And if you come into the United States, then I'm getting rid of the Trump policy where if we caught you in the United States, we could deport you and you would wait
in your native country, yeah.
Right? Waiting for your asylum hearing to take place. Well, because of that, the coyotes run by the cartels have undoubtedly told, you know, millions of people that now is a great time because Biden is, you know, president of the United States. Come on up and enter the country, enter the United States illegally, and you're going to be accepted with, you know, open arms. Nobody's going to send you back to your homeland. Nobody's going to send you back to Mexico. And so what we've got now are caravans, thousands of people coming from at least Honduras, and they're going to attempt to breach the United States walls and come in here. And what I wanted to talk about with regards to the law of unintended consequences is just think about how dangerous and reckless that rhetoric is, because now that creates a destabilization in the Central American government. So Honduras, what do you got to do to get to Mexico? You've got to go through Guatemala. And so now the Hondurans, the thousands of Hondurans in their caravan to get to the United States are already battling with security forces in the country of Guatemala. If you don't think that creates a destabilization, you're nuts. And then what do they have to do? They have to breach the southern border of Mexico to get up to the United States, which causes additional security pressures on the immigration and armed forces of the nation of Mexico.
Yes. And by the way, the people of Mexico absolutely hate those people coming up through their country. So what has happened now is all these people are going to be coming over the border again. And if you remember, Ron, 4 years ago, you and I spent so many hours on this show talking about people flowing over the borders. And then President Trump put a virtual plug in those holes and he stopped it. And it has been the best it's been probably forever. And now we're going to open that all up again. And what happens to the United States? The United States has just and continues to go through so many layoffs and so many people with COVID and all these problems. Now you're going to bring really the seriously unwashed masses over the border with whatever diseases they bring with them. And you're going to release them into society with no jobs, with no medical care, with no money, with no skills, no education. And now what? What is that going to do to our economy and to our health?
And you know, and that's not a xenophobic statement that you're making. We have every right, based on everything that we've seen in Mexico with how COVID has spread and in Brazil and in Europe and all over the world and in Central America, we have every right to be concerned about anybody, not just Hondurans, not just Mexicans, not just Guatemalans.
It doesn't matter where they're from.
What the border is.
No.
What matters is that none of these people are medically vetted, and they're just going to pour across the United States borders unvetted, like you said, and then what? We're gonna go through this again?
Well, and they could be murderers, they could be rapists, they could be child molesters, they could be child traffickers. I mean, what are we doing here? The drugs are going to flow back across the borders.
Well, they're already flowing.
Whose kids do you think that kills? Our kids.
People forget that the wall that President Trump has been diligently building protects us from things like the flow of drugs coming into the United States of America and Canada.
And terrorists, and the flow of terrorists.
And terrorists, and also a huge problem, huge growing problem in the United States, and specifically in Texas, the border states, is human trafficking and sex trafficking and the trafficking of children and child exploitation. And because of the good work of the Department of Homeland Security and ICE and, all of our, Border Patrol and President Trump and his administration, we've cut back significantly on that. And now we're going to go back to it. I mean, come on. We can't, at this time of in our United States history, where I strongly believe that our government is destabilized and our peoples are completely divided, and we've got COVID, and like you said, Linda, we're going through significant unemployment. People are losing their jobs. Businesses are collapsing. To bring in these new people by the tens of thousands and have this, and we just spent trillions of dollars on the government stimulus plans, and now we're almost $30 trillion in debt, and to bring on more debt is reckless and unconscionable.
Well, it is also their plan to give those people medical care. So who pays for that? But all of these Americans who have been out of work for so long and who have been suffering for the last year, many of whom have completely lost their ability to support themselves anymore, and their employees as well. And here we are, let's just let a free-for-all come back over the border. And while we're at it, let's open up travel into the United States from terrorist countries that President Trump had stopped travel from so that he could vet people before they come in. And we are putting our citizens at risk in so many ways again. We were trying to plug some of these holes under the Trump administration, and now we are putting big gaping holes for terrorists to walk through, for just criminals, people that will not be good for America.
100% right. I want to switch it up a little bit, but I want to stay with your theme about things that are not good for America. And I want to talk about, what we see now in the United States Capitol of Washington, D.C., and these metal walls going up around, the Capitol building, the people's house, the people's building. And tens of thousands of armed military personnel. And I'll tell you what, Linda, my belief is that they have completely overblown the social Democrats and the neo-socialists and the progressive left have completely overblown what has happened. And I'm not so sure that it will change all that much. I foresee, I could be wrong, but I foresee the people not being able to go back in the people's building again. Do you remember when Obama came into office and you could always get a tour through the White House, and as soon as he came into office, all of that stopped?
Yes.
I do not think that anything is going to change with this new administration. I think they're going to keep the walls up. They'll release a lot of the military personnel, but I think there is still going to be a continuing military presence. There's certainly going to be an amplified law enforcement presence, but it's not going to go away. I do not believe that the people, I think next year, I think those walls will still be there. There'll be metal detectors. They are not going to allow people into the Capitol building or the different Senate buildings or all these places that we used to be able to walk around and go in. I think they may close off the United States Supreme Court. And I think important federal buildings such as that, I think the paradigm is completely going to change, and they're going to deny access by the American people to the areas that we have bought and paid for.
Well, and I think that that purpose is twofold. One, I think that they all got scared that they actually had to live for 10 minutes of their life, like so many people had to live in Seattle for months, and Portland for months, and Baltimore for months, and people in different areas of this country have to live it all day, every day, people in New York and all over the place. So, you know, that's one thing. But the other thing is they want to show us that it's not ours, that it's theirs. And this is a subliminal power play. And again, the hypocrisy is astounding to me, because they want to close that off to the people, yet open up the flights to terrorist countries for people to come here, open up the borders for people that you don't know, and criminals and drug traffickers and sex traffickers and child predators to come across our border. But the people whose house that is in Washington, D.C. will not be able to go to it.
Well, you know, you and I have been to Washington, D.C. numerous times, and we always remark about, you know, that term that says that they live in a bubble. The politicians live in a bubble. When you get to go to Washington, D.C., you really understand what a truism that is. And when you listened, after all of this happened on January 6th, when you listened to the remarks by them, you know, by AOC, by Pelosi, by the Democrats, oh my God, you know, I can't believe that the people did this and the people did that. And oh my God, our lives were threatened. And oh my God, I thought we were going to be killed. They have no idea of how they have hurt the American people during the entire 4 years of Trump's administration, and even during the 9 years of the Obama-Biden administration. They have no idea of the pent-up anger and rage and frustration and desperation. And by the way, when I say that, I in no way condone again anything that happened. My point is, are you kidding me? You are so disengaged with the American people that you could not feel the level of anger, of frustration, of desperation for tens of millions of Americans? Do you not see it?
No,
just absolutely incredible.
They didn't see it. And even when people's cities were burning, and when they were trying to burn police officers alive inside their buildings, they didn't see it.
No, but they saw it, like you said, they saw it for only 10 minutes, the blink of an eye. And look at the draconian measures that they've taken now in Washington, D.C. And here's the law of unintended consequences again. Look at the horrible model it presents to the world.
Yes.
Look at how we have gone down in stature, not only in front of our allies, but in front of our enemies who have been, I mean, extremely emboldened. Because I firmly believe that right now the United States of America is destabilized. You cannot say that the United States of America right now is a stable nation. Yes, we might be able to protect ourselves against our enemies, but we are unstable and our people are divided.
Our people are very divided. And the question always is how are we going to come together? And so far, I've seen nothing that indicates that anybody on the left has any intention of doing anything with conservatives except for stomping on them as much as they can and getting as much done to get as many votes in future elections as they can, and to give themselves an unfair advantage for the foreseeable future in America.
And you know, I'll tell you, this whole thing by President Biden that, you know, he's going to be a unifier, he's going to bring the United States of America, the people, back together, that is meaningless rhetoric. When you are talking about what we've already talked about tonight, when you talk about the censuring, the disenfranchising, the diminishing, the demonetizing, the blacklisting, the hate, the vitriol, everything that's happening, where they want to not only destroy President Trump and his entire administration and all of the supporters and all of the donors and people like us, and try to deprive us of our livelihoods, you are never going to bring the United States of America back to a unified body of people. And again, that's so dangerous because it emboldens our enemies.
Yeah, I have to say that I am absolutely floored that we are in this position today, not us as conservatives, but America, that people in America actually voted for and wanted this type of government that is going to do to let in illegals, that's going to, you know, raise your taxes, that's going to go back into the climate agreements, that's going to do all the
Iranian nuclear agreement,
yeah. You know, and be buddies with China, and yeah. You know, the things that President Trump did are that they want to demolish as soon as possible.
You know what, it's like they have said on the left, and it's a truism, that elections have consequences. And now the Democrats own this administration, but unfortunately, there's going to be consequences for all of us in the United States of America. It isn't just going to be the conservatives. It isn't just going to be the Republicans. All of the American people are going to suffer. The only people that are not going to suffer is going to be the rich, elite, political oligarchs. All of the rest of us, we're going to suffer big time.
We have 22 months to make a change. In 22 months, conservatives need to speak with their votes.